Over the weekend, we went through quite a bit of seminar, and I'm just kind of going through the processing of what I've heard from many different speakers. We celebrated 35th anniversary, and God's been faithful. And as we look forward to 35 years, we are setting the direction, who we are and where we want to go, our identity and our direction. And we, along with the session leadership, we decided to really be more missional. What that means is not for us to go overseas to do the mission, but it is for each one of us to be sent from where we are to be missionaries. Whether we may be students, whether we may be parents, whether we may be engineers or whatever profession you may be doing, where God is sending us, that is our mission field, and we are called to be missionaries, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through our lives. And that's what I want to share today, what it means to live a missional life, what it means to be a missionary, and what God is calling each one of us to live, how to live our lives. If we look around, we live in a very confused and very disturbing times. United States cannot be called the United States these days. I think it's more of divided states of America. Politically, it's divided. Morally, it's divided. Racially divided. And times such as these, God is calling the church to step up. But if we look at the state of a church, we're not doing too well. As the scripture says today, as a salt loses its flavor, it's going to be trampled by men. It's going to be stepped all over. And that's what's happening right now with churches. Instead of setting the directions, instead of giving an influence to the world that is in conflict and confused and lost, it seems like church is struggling as well. And we desire to look at the Bible and see what God is saying. Dr. Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, he said, if the world is getting dark, the world is doing its job. The problem is not the problem of the world, but the problem of light. Light is not doing its job. We have heard so many times that we are called to be salt and light of a world, that we are not to be influenced by so many things that are going on in the world, but for us to be an influence with the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no use crying over spilled milk. Church may be in chaos and may not be such an influential body anymore, but we cannot just look at the situation and say, oh, it's hopeless. We cannot do a thing. In fact, it is the best time for us to really rise to the occasion and for us to make a difference. Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, shares the qualities of successful people. And he shares seven qualities. And one of the qualities he shares about successful people is that they're not reactive, but they're proactive. They don't react to the situation, but they're proactive. They already know what's going to happen, and they plan ahead. And that's what successful people do. Well, he sold millions of books and he made a lot of money, but he wasn't the first one to say this, but Jesus said it already. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. That is the first sermon that Jesus gave as he started the ministry. And it must be important for him to say in the first chapter what we're called to do. He talks about the Beatitude, blessed are, and all that, and then what it means to be a blessed life. And then he talks about you are to be the salt and you are to be the light. And this is talking about for us to live a proactive life. In order for Christians to be real Christians, we need to be salt and light. In order for us to have integrity, in order for a church to have integrity, we need to be salt and light. One of the biggest obstacles that we encounter as Christians is that we do not know how to relate our spiritual life with the world. Well, there are two reactions that we see from the Christians. One is for us to run away from the world. We say, world is evil, world is bad, it's dark. So only way for us to be holy, only for us to be a good Christian is to be away from the world and I'm going to be with God. Well, you only understood the half part of it. If the world is dark, you are just, you know, God. This is what Jesus says in John 17:18. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As God has sent Jesus into the world, Jesus is sending each one of us into the world. But we cannot run away from the world and think that we are doing a good job. Jesus calls us to be his disciple, and then he tells us to go to make a difference, change the people, influence them to be the follower of Jesus Christ. Rather than waiting it to happen, it has to make it. We have to make it happen. And some people just hate the world, you know, and you know, saying, "Oh, no, I don't want to have anything to do with the world. The Bible says the world is an evil place." Well, the Bible is talking about worldliness is evil. But John 3:16 says this, "For God so what? Loved the world." God loved the world that he created. Look at how beautiful it is, the world that God created. I look at, you know, just see what's going on outside, the changing of leaves and foliage. And I drove up last weekend over up to the north portion of New York, and it was beautiful. God's handiwork is beautiful. When men get their hand on it, it gets ugly. But then God makes all things beautiful. You know what I love to do? These days, I don't have much time, or because of COVID, I cannot do it. I love to sit by the Penn Station and see swarm of people move during rush hours. You know, people just moving. And I love to watch people, how God created each one of them so different. You know, there are millions of people, and none of them are the same. Even the twins are not equal. There's something about the twins that they're different. God made each one of us as his handiwork, as his masterpiece. And God loves the world, and he calls us to love it as well. Why salt and light? Because the solution of our problem is twofold. Not only prevention, for us to have an improvement. Well, we must suffer from further destruction. That's a role of salt. And must have a plan of action to improve it. That's a role of light. Why salt? Well, because salt, first of all, it preserves. It has a way of preserving things. One of the ways that people, when they didn't have a refrigerator, to preserve food for a long time was to use salt. Beef jerky, dried fish, those are the method of preserving food in the long run. Kimchi, just cabbage, may just, you know, if you leave it alone, it might rot. But then if you put salt in it, then it ferments and it keeps, and when you add a little spice in it, you have a kimchi. And you can preserve it for a long time. In an olden day in Korea, they made it during winter, beginning of winter, and buried it in the ground. And throughout the winter, they had kimchi to eat. There's so much moral decay in the world. People do not know how to distinguish right from wrong anymore. Whatever is good for you, it goes. It seems like there's no standard anymore. If I say it, it's okay, then it's okay. It seems like the world is becoming more and more relativistic world. If it's good with me, then it must be okay. It's not. If God says it's not okay, from the creation point of view, from his standard, when God says it's not okay, no matter how much I say it's okay, it's not okay. So the salt needs to preserve from decaying. And salt also adds flavor. The world is becoming tasteless. It just, you know, Korean has a very good expression. You know, when someone acts kind of, you know, tasteless, you know, 저 사람 맛 같다, you know, 맛이 같다. They lost their flavor of being human being. But there are so many people like that. They just don't have any vision or don't have any standard in life. And us as salt, we need to give flavor. What kind of flavor do we give? Well, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The world that we're living in, you know what the standard of love is? What have you done for me lately? Then I am going to give you a little back if you gave me something. We don't want to have a losing game, so we want to have a conditional love. If you love me, I love you back. But you know what God says how to love? Love, not because of, but in spite of. You know why so many marriages end in divorce? Because we become conditional about the love that we have committed to. We always think about, because you love me, I will love you back. But God says, in spite of not having love from the other person, we are to love. That's the love that Christ taught us. It's called agape love. And we are to give that kind of flavor where there's no joy. You know, people are fabricating joy. We need to just come up with the genuine joy. We are to give peace. In fact, the Bible calls us to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's in chapter 5 from the Beatitude. For they shall be called sons and daughters of God. If we're to be called sons and daughters of God, we are to be not only living in peace with myself, but be peacemaker. For us to have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Imagine if we had this kind of flavor in my life, what kind of person you would be. People would be thirsting for you. People would be looking for you because you are different. When everyone is so selfish, when everyone is so self-focused, here comes a person who is full of love, full of peace, joy, faithfulness, and self-control and gentleness. All this wonderful flavor that we can give to the world. Well, don't you want to be flavor of the month in God's list? For God to say and for people to say, it's wonderful to be around you. You see, the world is looking for people who are different from the standards of the world. You know, these days, when we do something that is obvious as a human being to do, someone who got into an accident and you help that person, I mean, that's an obvious thing to do, but we call them a hero. I mean, that's an obvious thing to do, but now there's a title hero because so many people are living their own lives and don't care about other people. God says, I care, because, and so you care as well. A few days ago, my son moved to Texas. On our way, right in front of us, as I'm driving to Newark Airport, right in front of us, as we're about to enter into 95, there was a tanker, and there was a truck, and then there was a small car, and the car, you know, because the tanker was going slow, and he was trying to pass it, and he was trying to pass through the emergency lane, not the car lane, and he hit the side of the tanker and flipped over right in front of us. Good thing I was kind of far back, and he just went and then flipped over. And immediately my son says, you know, Dad, stop! Why he was saying stop, not because, you know, we're going to get in an accident, because we need to help them. And we were kind of, you know, I was taking him because he had to take an airplane, and we stopped for help. And the police came, and he thanked us, you know, stopping and helping them. And there were three guys in there. They're okay. You know, they didn't get hurt. It's just, you know, it was kind of a slow movement. But it was an obvious thing to do. Obvious thing to do. But these days, people consider that to be a supernatural act or something that, you know, is heroic or something. Salt people, they prevent from things from rotting. They set a standard. And they just, you know, make a difference in other people's lives as well. Then why light? Well, light has a way of exposing things. Well, sleeping at night, you don't know what's going on in your face. But when you wake up in the morning and go into the restroom and turn on the light, then you get surprised. Light has a way of exposing things. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. As we come closer to Jesus Christ, we realize how dirty we are, how sinful we are. The further away we get from God, we don't realize how sinful we are. We don't care. The world has walked away, have gone the opposite direction from God. They don't realize the life that they're living is not approved by God. And Jesus said, you know, to come to him who is the light. And as we go near him, we get exposed. As we are going into the world as light of a world, that people will be able to see themselves. People will not be living in darkness anymore. When we get exposed, not only do we see ourselves well, but it gives warmth as well. You know, Christians need to be nice people. You know, I see some mean Christians. I mean, those two words don't go together. You know, there's an oxymoron statement. It's like jumbo shrimp. How can shrimp be jumbo? You know, pretty ugly. How can pretty be ugly? Those two words don't go together. Mean Christians. Christians need to be warm. We need to be loving. We need to be graceful. We need to be faithful. We need to be truly joyful. That's what we're called to do. And light has a way of giving warmth to the world. The world is getting colder and colder. Seems like, you know, they used to call it in southern part of America, they used to call it southern hospitality. When you go to like Texas, Alabama, those areas, they have a southern hospitality. They say that they don't have southern hospitality anymore. You know, they just, you know, okay, Samaritans these days get killed. So don't be nice to people, because if you are nice to people, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Christians, even though we may be at loss at times we may be cheated, at times we may get even hurt, but we are called to give love to those who are hungry, who are cold, who are lonely. How can we be salt and light of a world? Well, first of all, we need to be available. Remember, Jesus said, salt and light, not gold and diamond. Do not categorize yourself as being above other people. Jesus, in order to save us, left the throne of heaven and come down here on earth and walked amongst the people. It is not ascending into greatness, but it's descending into humility. That's what Jesus calls us to do, that we need to descend into his greatness as Jesus has done. For us to be salt and light, we need to be available. We need to, you know, just leave the salt shaker in order to be an effective salt of the earth. Some people feel like, you know, okay, God told me that I am the chosen people. I am the royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own. Well, I must be special. I'm so great. So these sinners of the world, I don't have anything to do with them. I don't want to deal with them. Well, this is what Bible says in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Of course, this is talking about in the family of God. But the way that we treat the family of God is the same way that we need to treat the people outside the church as well. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and this is how he prayed, John 17, 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus says, I don't want my disciples to be taken out of the world, but that you, even though they are in the evil space, that you may protect them. You know, some people feel like, in order for me to be holy, I need to go to the prayer mountain, get away from the world. Well, time to time, we need to be alone with God. Yes, that's true. But we cannot stay there. In the Mount of Transformation, you know, Peter saw Jesus with all these, you know, saints. And then he said, okay, we're going to build 3 tents here and we're going to stay here. And Jesus said, no, we need to go into the world because that's where we are needed. You know, those people who believe in Jesus Christ and who call themselves Christians, it is not the church that needs you. It is the world that needs the Christians. So we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. That's why we need to be salt of the earth. We cannot have this attitude of, I am holy schmoly, so I don't deal with your kind. As Jesus came to us, and this is what the Bible says, that Christ died for us while we're yet sinners. Not when we got our act together, when we became nice and we became holy, that Christ, okay, you have done a good job, now I will give my life. No. While we're yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. And that's the kind of a mindset we need to have, that we are not above other people, that we are to be servants just as Christ was. And we need to know that we are essential and irreplaceable as well. Salt is common and plain, yet it is irreplaceable. Persian king had 3 princesses and asked, how much do you love me? First princess said, more than gold. Good. Second princess says, more than silver. That's good too. Third princess says, I love you more than salt. The king was disappointed at the third answer. Wise cook heard the comment, and next day, while cooking, he took the salt out. King got angry. How could you make such tasteless food? And then cook said, remember what your third daughter said? What is the most delicious food in the world? I believe it's salt. If you don't have salt, you cannot make tasty food. I think I told this story before. When I was in youth group, my youth teacher, the young couple, you know, they believed in this whole food and you know, this health food, and they didn't use salt. When they invited the youth group to come and eat their house, the first time we tasted it, we all kind of, you know, we were polite, you know, yeah, interesting. But then, you know, after that, when they invited, we had excuses not to go. And then they wonder why. This is so healthy, this is so good for you, but it tastes awful. It's just, you know, they had kimchi without salt. How can you make kimchi without salt? You know, it's just vegetable, you know, it's just cabbage. It was terrible. And realize how important salt is. Gold and silver, we can't live without, but salt is a necessity. The world can do away with a lot of things, but without salt, can't do anything. In China, one of the torture that they use is killing slowly by not giving any salt. Life and death depends on salt. The happiest day for the working people is a payday. And the word salary comes from the word salt. It's just a giver of life. That's what salt is. And God is calling us to be the giver of life. And to be effective salt and light, they must be consumed. It has to leave the salt shaker, and the salt needs to lose its form, and the light has to you know, change its quality in order to give light. Taste of salt replaces crystal, and the brightness replaces the light. It is only when it loses its form that the right function can be displayed. Imagine if the salt says, I love this shape of crystal. I love this shape, you know, kind of, I'm like, you know, just this hexagonal, octagonal, all this kind of a wonderful salt shape. I'm not going to lose my shape, so I'm not going to melt. There's no salt. Salt has to melt and disappear in order to do its job. Have you seen candle burn? No matter how beautiful the form of a candle is, once you light it and begins to kind of, you know, act as a candle, gives a light and gives warmth, and it starts losing its shape. And after a while, it just all disappears. When Jesus calls each one of us to be salt and light of the world, it is not calling us, okay, you do everything, and then if you have a leftover, then do this. No, Jesus is calling us, whatever it takes. Even if I were to lose my pride, even if I were to lose my money, even if I were to lose everything, that we are to consider others better than myself, that we are to serve others as servants. The word servant is a nice word. In fact, the original word that the Bible uses is doulos, which means slaves. Slaves do not have right. Slave, they just have to obey what the master says. And after they're done with whatever, all the credit goes back to the master, not themselves. Another oxymoron statement, arrogant slave. They cannot be together. Slaves are just to obey what the master says. Salt must remain pure and light. Salt must remain pure and light must be lifted up. Salt that loses saltiness is nothing but rock. I read this interesting article about old Israel shepherds. They look for rock, salt rock. And in the wilderness, some rocks have salt embedded in between. And when the shepherd discovers this rock, it brings, and then the sheep come, and they lick the rock so that they can get their share of salt. But when it rains and washes off the salt, it's just rock. Likewise, as Christians, because of all the things, influences that comes in our lives, And if those influences wash away all the saltiness from us, that we become nothing but rock. And when we're producing light, and when we become salt, we don't have to do it on our own. The Bible says if you are connected to God, then you can live such lives. Away from God, you know, there are so many philanthropists who do good things. But, you know, they can only do good things as long as they have the resources. But God calls us to be connected to Him, and then the resources will be endless. How can you turn on the light without being plugged into an outlet? How can you have a bright room without having electricity? We need to have power of God in our lives. And when in order to light it, we need to lift in order to be seen. Today's passage says at the end this, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your good deeds, our good deeds, will bring praise to God's name. You know why people are cussing at Christians and just looking down at Christians? It's because looking at us, there's no difference between them and us. They're saying, you know, you just go to church, that's it. And in fact, you're worse than us because you are very good at condemning us. You know, at least we don't condemn. We're not called to condemn the world. We are called to love the world and people in it. No matter how wicked and how people are just evil and bad, our call is not to condemn, but to love. We are called to be agents of reconciliation. Mark 9:50 says this, have salt in your life, in yourselves, and be at peace with each other. No matter how hard an object may be, when salt is added, it becomes flexible. I think some mothers here, well, some wives, are very good at making kimchi or kakdugi. These hard vegetables, when you put salt in it, they become like noodles, noodle. They become soft. I had toenail problem for a long time, and the doctor recommended to put my foot in the salt water to soften my nail, and I did that. Now we have a podiatrist here. I don't know if that's true, but you know, he told me the Epsom salt, put in there and, you know, soak in it. Hard stuff become very malleable, very soft, flexible when you put in salt. When we live a life of salt, people whose heart are hardened, they soften up. I didn't see this in East Coast, West Coast, but coming to East Coast, I realized one more function of salt. It has a way of melting the ice. When it snows and before the street freezes and they put salt in order to melt the snow. And that's what salt does, melt something that is so hard and so cold. And when we live such lives as Christ called us to live, no matter how tough and how hardened people's heart are, they will become soft. Some people have difficulty in marriages and say, my husband, my wife is impossible. Just, you know, there's not even a little crack for a needle to go through. It's just so hard and so difficult. Have you ever lived your life like salt, melting yourself, disappearing of yourself, so that other can become flexible and soft? Colossians 4:6 says this, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Boy, I love this passage. I want to practice this kind of life. I want every time I open my mouth, to the words that come out to be full of grace, full of love. But sometimes when we open our mouth, it just thorns come out. Every word that we speak, you know, we have, there's an intent to hurt other person. Do not live such lives. That's not the kind of life that Jesus calls us to live. You know, as I look back in my marriage, early part of our marriage, I thought, if I have the last word, I win. If I have the last word and then she has nothing more to say, then I won. And after, it took a long time for me to realize, God put husband and wife as one. And how can one win and one lose? If one loses, then both loses. If one wins, both wins. And having the last word is not the winner. Not realize, not having any words is a winner. It's just, you know, if you get showered by your spouse's some mean words, then be quiet. I think that's the way to win. As we live in the world, these days we're very careful in what we talk and what we say. We cannot even identify the candidate we want to vote for. If you say, I vote for this person, you know you will be attacked. In social media, if you put anything that, you know, is political, you know, the people who are against, you know, they would start attacking you. It's a mean world. And I pray that as children of God, that our conversation will be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, giving flavor to other people who have lost their flavors. God does not call us to combat the world with guns and knives, but with influence. With influence. Dwight Moody, today's speaker on Sunday Korean service, talked about Moody quite a bit. There's some kind of famous statement that he said, salt that loses its saltiness is nothing more than a garbage. Lighthouse that has no light only brings greater danger. People know there's lighthouse somewhere, but it doesn't have light, then, you know, they're going to say, oh, there's a light, you know, lighthouse somewhere, and then trusting that there is one, and then they're going to get into a shipwreck. God calls each one of us to be influencers. We get influenced so much. We are bombarded with all these messages that's telling us that we need to change this way and that way. And it's just amazing how much information we're getting each day. And they catch you somehow. You know, I'm on Facebook time to time, but when I look at, like, I was looking at RV one time because I'm looking forward to my retirement. When I retire, I want to get an RV and travel. I just looked at RV once. And now, you know, every time I open up, there's RV ads coming out. It's amazing how much influence they want to put on you. If you're not careful, that you are going to be astray from what God desires for each one of us to live. So I challenge all of us, for us not to be influenced, but for us to be an influencer in the world that has lost the direction, that has lost life. Let's pray. God, you left the throne of heaven to come to us. And you walked amongst people in order to show what it means to live holy, godly, loving, joyful, and peaceful life. Lord, we don't have much time here on earth. And when we stand before you, we want to be praised. Well done, faithful servant. You are faithful in little things, and I'm going to be put you in charge of a lot more things. Lord, we want to be in that place. May we walk the face of the earth, not as a pagan, not as someone who do not have God, but as someone who have God and who is led by him and who is influenced to influence others to become like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.